You know, we've been talking about the temple, and we've been looking at how we are the holy temple of God. And on a very, very snowy Sunday, we did the first part of this sermon of what's inside. We talked about how King Josiah, what was really important wasn't finding a refurbished temple, it was what was found inside of the temple. And how Josiah took to heart to repent of his part in what had happened to the temple, to seek guidance of what to do, and to share that message with others. And so this week we're going to finish that up and talk a little bit about the map. Now, back on Valentine's weekend, one of the unfortunate things about my schedule, Valentine's Day fell on Saturday, I work on Saturday. So Julie and I weren't really able to celebrate or do much of anything, but I was able to find a really good deal up in Estes Park on a nice little room. And so we went up there and we just enjoyed the day in the town and decided to take a little snowshoeing trip. Now, when I go snowshoeing, I like to make sure that I have a good map. Because unlike, you know, going hiking where you can see the trail clearly most of the time, snow has a way of distorting things. I remember the first time Julie and I actually went up into the mountains together, I decided to pick a trail that I had known very well, a trail I'd been on multiple times during the summer. But when we got up there and the snow was up there, it was next to impossible to figure out where we were going. So one of the things that I try to do is to make sure that I have a map with me. Now, my good friend Tim, knowing how much I love hiking, went out and bought me the map of all maps. I mean, it's got all of the Rocky Mountain National Park. It's got all of the elevation changes. It shows you every little detailed trail, everything that you could possibly want to know as you're out there hiking. Well, Julie and I started out, and we came to our first intersection, and so naturally I pull out the map. And I'm looking at the map and trying to figure out, of these five different possible ways to go, which one is the right way to go. And this very nice gentleman, very confident, local, you could just tell he was a local, comes up and offers us his help. He says, "Hey, where are you guys headed to?" "Oh, well, we're just going around the lake, you know, we're going to take the trail around, you know, and get a little snowshoeing in." And he goes, "Oh, well, that's where we're going. Why don't you just go ahead and follow us?" And he starts to take off to the right. And I look at my map, and it looks like I'm supposed to go to the left. And so Julie's talking with him. I'm sitting there looking at the map, trying to figure it out. And so we're left with a very, very difficult decision, right? This guy seems to know what he's doing. This guy's been up there, right? He's a local. He knows what he's doing. But I have the map. So what do I do? You know, King Josiah was in a very, very similar situation. He had a difficult decision to make. The kings of old, as we've talked about before, and the priests let the temple fall into total destruction. And the children of Israel saw absolutely no problem at all with the idea of the way things were. Like, maybe they weren't as good as they were in the old days, but who cares, you know? Life's okay. We're still free. We can still do what we want. So what's the big deal? It's not really a problem. So he's faced with, on one hand, this old pattern. But then he also has another option that he could do as Solomon prayed, as we talked about last week, and turn back to the temple. In 2 Chronicles 34, verses 14 through 18, it says, "While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, 'I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord.' He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, 'Your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and the workers.' Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the high priest has given me this book. Then Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. You see, now Josiah had something different. Josiah had a map. He had a direction. He had something to tell him, hey, this is the way that God wants you to go. And oftentimes we are going to be faced with this same situation. What do we do when we're faced with something that sounds logical and something that we're told in the map? For Julie and I, we decided to go down the path that the map took us. You know, the guy sounded confident, but I didn't know that guy. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know where he was going to lead us. I mean, we could have been going on a two-day hike with that guy and had no clue. Just seemed confident. And the reality is, in a spiritual sense, we have this happen to us all the time. We have a world that tries to adapt and make things fit what they want it to fit. They sound confident. Don't the televangelists sound really confident when they're telling you, plant that seed money, brothers and sisters. Send me $1,000, God's going to get you that million-dollar home. They sound like they know what they're talking about. They sound confident. In our culture, things break down. Family's not important. It's okay. You don't have to be married. You don't have to raise your children in a home with a mother and a father. It's okay. Bad things happen. So because bad things happen, we don't seek out the proper mold. We go through these phases where we look and we try to change what God has set for roles for man and for woman, for marriage, for all of these different things. And they sound good. The arguments sound really good if all you are doing is listening to the argument. But what if we follow the map? What does the map lead us to? In 2 Chronicles 34, verses 29 through 32, it says, then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all of the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance to the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors. You see, finding the map leads in new directions, doesn't it? When we know what the map says and we follow the map, it leads us in good places. For Julie and I, it was a good thing we followed the map. That map was taking us in the right direction. And for the children of Israel, it was leading them back to God. A lot of them had no idea how far they had fallen. Josiah was the king. The king of the people had no idea how bad it had gotten until he read the word of God. And things started to change. They recommitted their souls. They recommitted their destiny to the Lord their God. They stood firmly and boldly saying, we will renew the covenant that God has made with his people. And we will be a people of God. Our faith should look something like this. Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. We sang a little bit of it. Your word is the lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees. to the very end. You know, as a church, we've committed to the idea that this is a year of rejuvenation. We have a rejuvenated sanctuary. But if this is to be a year of rejuvenation, if this is to be a year where we grow in the Lord, we have to have the map. We have to have a heart that says, God's word is the light for me. If I want to know the path, I've got to go to God's word. It's got to be the thing that I completely dedicate my heart to, the thing that I look to and say, if I'm going to live my life, I'm going to live it this way, because the Word of God is the foundation. It is the thing that gives me everything I need to know. It needs to flow off my lips. It needs to be the thing that I completely humble myself into. It is the light and the path for us to walk along. So, if this is what it is, how do we know that we're on track? You know, Julie and I, we made the right choice that first time. We followed the map. But as we went along, we noticed these cool little markers. And I don't know if you guys have ever been up to Estes and hiked up there, but they do a really good job of putting these little, you know, squares, like orange squares up or blue squares, that tell you, hey, good news, you're on the trail. You're going in the right direction. And Julie and I, as we were walking along the trail, saw these little markers, thought, hey, cool, there's little markers, that's nice. But then we came to this little juncture. There was a little path off to the left that looked like it was blocked by a tree and, you know, didn't seem like much of anything. Would you agree? It didn't seem like much of anything. And then there was this beautiful path, perfectly laid out. You know, it's got packed in from all the skiers and snowshoers. And so we're like, oh, surely this is the way that we're supposed to go. So we start walking, and I start looking at the map, and I go, huh. Julie, this doesn't look like the direction the map said we were supposed to be going. Well, whatever. There's other trails we can run into. We'll just keep walking. So we go, and it looks less and less like the path that we were supposed to be on, till finally we hit a dead end. Now, it was a very pretty dead end, you know, a nice little overlook, but the reality is that this packed down trail was something that the snowshoers had created, because it's kind of a steep downhill, so when they're coming back down with their cross-country skiing, you know, they get to just right down the hill. And so we spent all that time going up to the top and moving further and further away from where we were supposed to be going. But what if we had paid attention to the markers? You see, our natural inclination is to be complacent about where we're going, isn't it? We stop looking around. We stop trying to find the right direction. If we had paused and said, you know, we've gone probably about a half a mile and there hasn't been a single marker, we could have saved a lot of time in our day. So what is the marker for the Christian? We have our map, but what are our markers? In Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 49, it says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from a thorn bush or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck and the house could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears the words and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." You see, the markers for us are our fruits. How do we know if we are walking in the Lord? By the way our lives reflect Jesus Christ. You see, knowledge is a good thing, right? Would you agree? Yeah. Knowledge is a good thing. We have to know the Word of God. But what is the Word of God without action? What does the Word of God do for us if we are not in the Word and acting it out? It makes no difference. It is simply a book of knowledge. You know, did you realize that there are atheists that know every word of the Bible? They have committed themselves to knowing every word of the Bible to refute it, to mock it. But the fact of the matter is that knowledge alone does not bring change. Change comes when we start to recognize that this is having an impact in our lives. And so we have to stop and ask ourselves, what are the markers in our lives? At work, am I getting caught up in what everybody else is? In the coarse joking? In the bad behaviors of other people? Am I getting caught up in the gossip? Am I getting caught up in being negative towards other people and running them down? Am I, in my daily life, reflecting Christ Jesus when I get out on the road? And you guys know I mention it a lot because that's a real struggle for me. I get irritated with the way other people drive. But these are the things, these are our markers. These are the ways that we can look and ask ourselves, am I following in God's will? Does my life reflect Jesus Christ? If we want to have success as believers, we have to pay attention to the markers. Whether that's weekly, we do that every week, or we should be doing that every week when we take communion. We reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We reflect on the covenant that was made in his blood. So every week when we come here, we should be stopping and thinking to ourselves, am I walking out my relationship with Jesus? Do I look like him? Do I reflect him? Because that's the commitment we made when we became his disciples, is to walk like him and look like him. Do we do it daily? You know, one of the things that that was very encouraging for me is I had a mentor once tell me, John, what I want you to do is every morning write down what you need to do. Write it down on a piece of paper. And I want you to pray about everything on that piece of paper. Every little thing on that piece of paper. And at the end of the day, I want you to go back and look at your day and ask yourself, how did I do today? What did I do well? Where did I love people? Where did I encourage people? Where did I build people up? And then, on the other side, where did I go wrong? Where are some things that I could change? Where were the times when I got road rage? Where were the times when, you know, when I didn't act as gently as I should as a husband? Where are those areas that I failed? And pray again, asking God to help me to be stronger, to be more like him in that coming day. And sometimes we realize we've got to do it minute to minute. Those times when we catch ourselves and we go, oh, I'm going down the rabbit hole. I need to turn around. I need to stop behaving this way. I need to move in a healthier direction. And whenever we're unsure, whenever we're not quite sure what's right, we've got to look back to the map. God gave us his word as a light for us so that we could walk in his ways. If we're to find rejuvenation in the Lord, as Josiah and Israel did, we must give attention to both. You see, Josiah, everything that he did was made clear by his fruits, wasn't it? The children of Israel turned back to the Lord. He rededicated his life to the Lord. We know he did the right thing. Why? Because the markers are there. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The bottom line is this, it's plain and simple. Our actions speak louder than our words. Do you want to affect positively our community for our Lord Jesus? Then we have to look like him. We have to know the word. We have to be in it. We have to be reading it. And I will say this as many times as I have to be sure that you hear and understand. It is not good enough to just be here on Sunday. It is not good enough to just show up to Sunday school. It is not good enough to just come to Bible study on Wednesday night. God's word has to be a part of your daily life. It has to be something that you're in, that you're reading, that you're letting encompass who you are. Now, you're not going to understand everything, and that's okay. I don't understand everything. Do you understand everything? We're not ever going to get to the place where we understand everything, but that's why we have each other, so that when you run into something and you go, hey, that's weird. I don't know what that means, that you can go, hey, you know, Jonathan, what do you think? Well, this is what I got out of it. What do you think it means? I don't know. Let's talk to Art. What do you think it means? Let's talk to Bob. Let's talk to John. Let's ask and move in the word. But see, if we're not even looking at the map, the next time some guy comes around who looks confident, seems like he knows what he's doing, he's a local, we're going to follow that guy. And it's not going to end up taking us where we want to go. You know, at times, living out our faith can seem hard. Right? Amen? Looking like Jesus can seem hard. But here's the thing. When we look back at Luke chapter 6, we get something awesome. He says, those who hear my words and put them into practice are like a person that was set on a solid foundation. If you make God's word your focal point, your direction, your goal, you know what you get? A foundation that can withstand anything. No matter what you go through, no matter what you experience, no matter your difficulties, your pains, no matter what happens to you, if you build your foundation on the Word of God, you will overcome anything. These aren't just words. I've lived them. The fact of the matter is that we as a people can make a huge difference in the world by simply looking like Christ. So if you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, we want to offer that opportunity to you. We want to talk with you about who he is, the love that he has for you. We want to talk with you about what it means to recognize your sins, to repent of them, to be willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ in baptism, to die to yourself and to rise a new creation. If you're here and you just need prayers, that God will guide you, that he will give you the right directions in your life, we want to be here to support you with that. Whatever your needs, we want you to find. Come and find one of the leaders. Leaders, would you please stand up for me? Art, Rex, Bob, John, Walter. I see you sneaking back, trying to hide back there. Any of these men would love to pray with you, would love to talk with you, would love to support you. So if you need anything, find us after church. We want to be there for you. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now, and we just thank you so much that you loved us enough to give us your word, that you've given us something that we can be passionate about, that we can walk in, that we can use to guide our lives. We thank you that you've established for us markers that we can look at the fruits of our life and ask ourselves, are we really in your will and in your way? Lord, I just pray that as we go throughout this week, that we recognize that our actions are the things that are going to draw people to you. That we can talk all we want to, but until the rubber meets the road, until we're actually out there caring for those in need, loving those who are unloved, Lord, being a vessel for you, that it means nothing. So Lord, we just ask that you'll be with us, bless us, give us the strength to be the people that we need to be. And Lord, for those who are out in the world who are lost, who do not know your truth,
who do not have your direction and your guide, I pray that you will open doors that we may reach out to them, that we may have an impact on their lives so that they can come to know you and come to find salvation. Lord, I pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.